Hey everybody, it's Katie here. Please enjoy this installment of The Mank Files.
Do you want to go into Patreon questions?
Yeah, let's do it. Do you have time?
Sure.
All right.
So, Patreon questions. Claire P., who was too shy to say hi to you at CrimeCon, said, I know.
I saw her, too, and she didn't say anything.
So rude, like, that's Claire.
I'm like, that's Claire.
Claire.
Why is she pretending she doesn't know me?
Who do you think is the most famous member of the Mankiewicz clan? Your family is extremely accomplished.
Yes, they are. I'm sort of the black sheep.
Stop.
The most famous member now is unquestionably my brother.
Not you.
Oh, no.
You think your brother is more famous than you?
He's got twice the Twitter followers I do, or maybe really? Three times or something. Oh, yeah. Yeah, my brother's the host of Turner Classic Movies.
Yeah, he's great.
He has the best job in television.
Yeah, that's a great job.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you like watching movies and talking about it, yeah.
It's a great job.
Yeah, which is how we all grew up.
You guys diss each other on Twitter quite a bit. He just dissed you yesterday.
We diss each other in real life. What happened yesterday?
He said that Dateline tweeted a picture of you guys walking through the kitchen corridor at CrimeCon doing the sleuth move. And he said, the easy part was finding the kitchen corridor. The hard part was getting my brother to leave.
Getting my brother out of the kitchen, yeah. Well, that's, you know, the Mank magnet that they give away,
Dateline,
which I was going to bring you, except I know you have one.
Yes,
right?
I have one.
Right.
Did you see that little, did you just witness that little, I have one, and then she did this?
Wow. So you don't have one.
It was I don't have one.
Because I specifically asked if you had them, and I was told that you did.
And you saw that little.
Right.
I won it as just a plain viewer, not using any of my podcast clout. No. I answered a quiz question correctly on Instagram.
You think we have clout?
No, not at all.
Okay, cool.
Not at all.
Just wanted to make sure that's clear.
Wow. So the Mank magnet, which first of all should be for sale.
Yes.
In the biased and failing NBC store.
Yes, we have our change.org petition.
Or at least online, it should be available.
Yeah. Yes.
Because everybody wants it. It's a little magnet that, you know, like a refrigerator magnet. And like me, it stays as close to the refrigerator as possible.
I love it.
Yeah.
Gosh, why? Wait, what is, first of all, it's a picture.
It's a full standing,
and he's wearing a suit. And
it's just a magnet made from, I guess, one of the publicity photos.
Were
right?
you calling it a magnet, or was that
they call
something?
It a magnet.
Oh, a magnet.
Yeah, they call
great.
It the magnet. Yeah.
So we have this
Who makes them?
The NBC. They have the Dateline people.
I think Dateline made them, but they only made 100 of them because we don't have a lot of money.
Well,
to
maybe
do that.
Dateline.
The store
will
should
send
be.
You one.
The store should be selling them.
Maybe the store will let us sell them.
Yeah, maybe. So when we started the podcast, there was literally one item on the NBC store, which was, I think, a coffee cup.
Right.
And now there's maybe 12 items, but reruns of Dallas or something, they also have 12 items. So it seems, and the good place has 22 items. And
I've been in the NBC store, the biased and failing NBC store in New York a couple of times. And when I go there, I mean, I haven't been there that many times, but every time I'm in New York, I usually stick my head in the store. Frequently, there's nothing in the store.
Mm-mm.
I mean, for people who want to come by and buy stuff, there's nothing. There's not even a coffee mug that says Dateline. Now, I know you can get some of that stuff online.
Yeah, you can get 12 or 13 items now. But we have a list on change.org. Go on our petition, but then also sign something for children or elephants or something while you're on change.org.
Right.
But if people want a manky doll with maybe a removable pocket square.
That's
a good
idea.
Right? You could dress it.
Swappable pocket
squares.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think they definitely want the host puppets that do.
Yes.
The puppets and the cutouts.
They want
the
maybe.
Cutouts. I think there's all kinds of merchandising opportunities that NBC is missing out on.
100%.
Yes.
It is. They are biased.
Also, they should also be selling. I mean, in the same way that Dateline appears on, I don't know, TLC and Oprah and ID and also syndicated all over the place. You should be able to buy old seasons of Dateline the way you can buy old seasons of
doing that?
Yes.
Magnum PI or whatever.
Well, now here, this is an old question I had, is if we were to ever get, box sets of DVDs, is there any way that we could get a blooper reel? is that ever going to happen?
I don't think we've ever made one. That's the thing.
But funny stuff happens, I'm sure.
Yeah,
or you mess
sometimes.
Up when you're doing your...
Well, certainly when we're out trying to shoot something like on camera, we screw up all the time, or at least I do. I presume other people do. The other three probably don't. Like they probably
stop
like,
it.
They're probably like never make a mistake. It's only me.
Do you work with the same camera team a lot of times?
Frequently. I mean, we have a bunch of freelancers around the country that we usually work with. Like there's a guy in Texas that we always hire. There's a guy in Chicago.
Yeah.
There's a guy in Minnesota.
Yeah.
You know. So usually, I mean, they have so much gear that
yeah.
they don't fly. They usually
yeah.
they drive from wherever they are, even if that's like 10 hours.
That makes
because
sense.
Because the amount of equipment required for a Dateline shoot is much more than the amount of equipment required for like an evening news piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And we need a lot more lights and a lot more just stuff.
And how many days are you usually, I'm saying on average, are you usually, I know I'm going to be there for 20 days or I know I'm going to be there for a week.
You know, usually usually you're there 3 to 5 days.
Not
twice,
that long.
Twice.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
We were wondering, so, okay, this goes back to when episodes are aired. Katie seems to think there's a connection. There was a guy whose alibi was Dunkin' Donuts, and it was released on National Donut Day. And then there was an episode where these lesbian girls were attacked, and it was during Pride Month. And so is there any correlation between when you're airing? Like, it was Keith's birthday, but they aired a Josh episode,
okay,
and we
well,
didn't know
here,
why.
Here's the answer to that. We're not that smart.
There's nothing happening. Okay.
Yeah.
We were trying to add meaning where there was none.
Episodes usually air when they are done. I mean, it's not like we have a dozen of these sitting on the shelf at any one time.
Really? So it's just, okay.
There's a lot of stuff in production right mm-hmm. now.
Wow.
Sometimes there's like two or three to pick from, but that's usually the most. I mean, usually, you know, they tell you, yeah, you start, you know, we want you in editing on Monday because it's going to air 5 weeks from Monday
mm-hmm.
or 5 weeks from
mm-hmm.
Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So be ready.
Gotcha.
Sometimes it's a lot less time than that. I mean, Unraveled in Phoenix, we did in like 3 weeks.
Yeah, that just wow. happened like a month
yeah.
before.
It, right,
yeah.
So that was a tremendously was really accelerated fast. Schedule. But that's also what we also had a lot more people on that.
Mm-hmm.
The only way to do it faster like that generally is to put more people on it. Instead of having one editor, you have six editors, and
right.
each one's doing one of the acts.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not things generally air as soon as they're done or pretty close to when they're done.
Oh, I just got a question. Is it decided ahead of time if it's going to be a 1 hour or a 2 hour?
Oh, yeah, almost always.
Gotcha.
Every now and then we will work on something and we will call our bosses in New York and say, this is going to be better as a 2 hour.
Okay.
Or we have, you know, and sometimes they call us and say we have, you know, whether things are 1 hour or 2 hour, this is the thing that's not commonly understood. That's not up to Dateline. That's up to NBC.
Mm-hmm.
That's up to the network.
That's up to their scheduling.
And they say to us, you know, the thing that is going to air before you starting in September, the new show, is not ready yet. That's happened a couple of times. We won't have new episodes of, you know, Blind Spot or whatever is going to air before
sure.
you
mm-hmm.
until October 23rd. That's mm-hmm. when they're going to be ready, right? So from September through the third week in October, you're
going to
be 2 hours.
Oh.
So suddenly you need 7 2 hours. Maybe
wow.
we only have 3 2 hours,
uh-huh.
right? So that's when they start saying to us, you know, is there any way that this could be 2 hours? Because a 2 hour episode works better in terms of building an audience than two separate 1 hour episodes,
mm-hmm.
which we can do and which we have done,
mm-hmm.
but it's really great to be able to have the extra time
yeah.
to sort of tell that story and mm-hmm. just let it play out.
Yeah.
But of course, some stories don't have enough twists.
Right.
You know, I mean,
right.
yeah.
I mean, stories that are the hardest to tell are ones in which the obvious suspect ends up being the guilty party.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
that's hard to do for 1 hour, let alone two.
Yeah.
Right.
Lynn Cummings from Georgia wants to know if you remember when you let her touch your hanky at CrimeCon.
That sounded really weird.
I know.
Say that again.
That sounded kind of creepy.
It really did.
I do remember Lynn Cummings touching my hanky. She was very gentle.
There you go. Chuck DZ76, of all the stories you've covered, which has had the most annoying slash detestable character you've ever had to interact with?
That's a big question.
Yeah, I mean, the story that always jumps out to me is a story that I think only aired one time, and it's not part of any of the rerun packages because it's such a horrible story. There's two stories like this, actually. One of them is the murder of Tori Vanoo and her son Dean in San Diego, told by Dean's grandmother, Dana Eroz, who's become a friend of mine and who's become this like fearsome victims advocate here in California. And the other is the story of the murder of Tom and Jackie Hawks off the coast of Newport Beach.
The Skyler.
By a guy named Skyler De Leon.
Yeah.
Who drowned them at sea.
Yeah.
Which was also a terrible story. And those two are, they have some, they're both full of detestable characters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In those cases, the bad guy.
Most memorable person in a good way?
Well, Dana certainly comes to mind, went from, I think she read like 50 books about how to deal with grief. None of them worked. She, was a puddle on the floor for a little while and then sort of, picked herself up and became this like, I think she was a victim's advocate of the year.
Wow, that's
at one point a couple of years ago. She's somebody gosh. That you could have on. She's
so great. Not Mickey. Yeah.
Mickey's certainly a memorable character. But I'm not
inspiring.
No.
Yeah, Dana's much more inspiring. The funny thing is we don't run those two episodes again and again, in part because they're so jarring.
Right.
Really.
But in both cases, I think the families would like to see those things run because they they've metabolized it.
Mm-hmm. Is that really why
I'm not saying that they're okay because nobody's ever okay after this thing's over. I mean,
right, of course.
There's no
they've
closure.
Handled it as well as
there
anyone
There is no
could.
Such thing as closure. And people who talk about that don't know what they're talking about.
Correct.
But they want to see that story again. It's like it happened and they want it out there. I think we should run those.
And is that legitimately why they don't run it? It's too hard.
We have a lot of trouble with stories about particularly brutal crimes. We're not looking for the bloodiest story out there.
Yeah.
We don't cover a lot of serial killer stories. Mm-hmm. We don't do a lot of sex crime stories. Mm-mm. And we don't do a lot of crimes against children because people just want to change the channel.
Yeah.
That's what makes all of this. Those two stories made those very tough to tell.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also very compelling stories. And mm-hmm. so if we're gonna rerun, Twisted Faith, we should probably rerun those too.
Yeah. Mm. Do you want to keep going with questions?
I really wanted to ask this one question. Is that about other cases? Do you ever, America gets really obsessed with huge cases. So like JonBenet mm-hmm. or Jodi Arias, have you ever been very, watched a case from beginning to end that you weren't involved with, you weren't reporting on?
It's kind of a busman's holiday. I mean, yeah.
That's what I'm asking.
No, I don't.
You don't. Okay, you stay away.
Everybody says to me, did you, people ask me if I watch Making a Murderer.
Why would you? Yeah, so
I
you don't.
I didn't. What's the one of, what's the Syed one? What's the podcast that was?
Oh, This American
right.
Life.
Right.
Is that right?
Serial.
Yeah, right. I didn't because that wasn't my story. We tried to get them to do a story and I was going to do it, but they didn't want to.
That would have been great.
The podcast didn't want to do it. Mm. So, no, I don't. I mean, I am pretty fully involved with the stories that I am working on. And so I got to, get all read in on those and follow those. And
it's enough. It must be, right?
And the rest of the time, I'm watching Netflix.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everybody.